Welcome, everyone. You are listening to Forged in Fire, where we explore how LGBTQ+ leaders develop their leadership superpowers. You'll hear from guests as they share how they navigated their journey through adverse and crucible experiences to develop into amazing leaders. Forged in Fire is hosted by Lieutenant Colonel Bree Fram and Dr. Liz Cavallaro.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Bree Fram. I'm an astronautical engineer in the United States Space Force and one of the senior transgender officers in the military. I'm a passionate advocate for the value inclusion brings to organizations.
And I'm Dr. Liz Cavallaro. I'm an adult development scholar and associate professor at the U.S. Naval War College. I'm also an experienced researcher, interviewer, leader development practitioner, and professional executive coach. Please join us as we discover the inspiring stories of how LGBTQ+ leaders are forged.
Welcome to the Season 1 recap of Forged in Fire. Today, we're turning the tables. We've invited Blake Dremmen, a former guest, to host a special episode and guide us through an insightful conversation where we unravel personal insights and behind-the-scenes stories from the passionate individuals who bring you Forged in Fire. As we close this season, we invite you to tune in, celebrate the triumphs, and share in the collective wisdom that has made this podcast a beacon of LGBTQ leadership inspiration. Thank you for being part of our journey. Now let's dive into the season finale together.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. We're gonna do a quick recap episode and see how things have been going for the team as we head into the end of this season and getting ready to start season two. So I'm just gonna start firing some questions and see how you guys feel about some things as we go through this, as you went through the season and how they turned out, and we'll go from there. So starting with Liz and Bree, you know, what were your expectations when this show launched? Were you excited? Did you know what you were doing? Because I didn't know what you were doing.
Did we know what we were doing? Great question, because probably not. But we went into this with almost no expectations about what it could be, other than it was probably going to be a lot of fun. And I think we kind of hit that nail on the head, because it has been a wild journey running through this first season. And we're so excited to see where we go from here.
Yeah, I think, did you know what you were doing is probably the easiest question that's ever been asked on this podcast, because The answer is no, absolutely not. But the other question was, were you excited? And I think we were both incredibly excited. And what's really cool is that, you know, a year ago, I personally felt incredibly excited and anticipatory and not knowing what was going to happen, but just feeling so lucky and privileged to be a part of it and really excited to see how it would turn out. And what's cool is that that excitement has not dropped off. Like, it has changed and shifted, and we've learned new things, and it's become everything we hoped and then also lots of other things. But I've been just as excited all the way along, and I'm still just as excited. Like, right now, it's kind of cool to think, like, okay, it's been a year, and Blake, we were talking to you a year ago, and I still feel just as, like, almost giddy excited as I did then. So that's very, very cool to think about.
Well, yeah, I can't imagine it was a year ago when we started this. So were there any expectations that you had that turned out just totally wrong? Like, yeah, I thought it was going to go this way, and it was definitely not that way.
So one area I thought we had a little bit of worry about was, would each episode start to feel the same? And I think that has been completely wrong, that the stories our guests have shared lead the conversations in such different directions that even if the questions we ask start to rhyme, the direction we go is so different. So I'm glad that that one expectation and that worry that I had turned out to be totally false. Anybody else?
Yeah, same here. I think that at the beginning, well, I had so many questions, doubts. mostly insecurities on my role, really, because I didn't know if I would be the right fit. But then it was all so organic, and we all came together for the same goal and purpose. And I think that because it's purpose driven and there's so much heart behind it, it was just easy to let it just flow, and we let it flow naturally. And it's been just really amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. Oh, hey, Trey, go ahead. Sorry.
That's all right. I think we learned monthly as we went through, lessons learned on what worked, what didn't. And we just kept going. And it could, because as first, you know, did we have the greatest plan? We just kind of picked and choose, you know, what would be the best at that time. But then monthly, it just kind of started to really, really come together. And as you look, we're already at a year now, and it's just amazing how the, you know, the lessons we learned to get where we are. But as Bree said, the, you know, was interesting hearing, seeing the questions, but how everybody's personalities really came through in the interviews. You have the same questions, but it's really their personalities and the way they answered very similar questions really drew some really unique things out. And that's, I think, what was the greatest point of all of it for over the year, how it evolved.
I think breaking those expectations has been, you know, a big part of the learning process for what you guys have started here in talking about LGBTQ leadership and the community. Do you have a favorite episode? I'm going to start with Frida, and we'll go around. Do you have a favorite episode? Of course, but not mine, because we're not going to go there. But anybody else's episode besides mine, we can talk about.
Well, that is a difficult question. But I will say, because of your previous question, I'd say the first episode is my favorite. So, Rafi, because those questions that I had about whether, you know, what I thought I could contribute would be actually valuable, all those questions were completely tossed out the window after that first episode, because there was so much in one episode there to unpack that I had been just waiting to hear somebody speak about all these things wrapped in just one story. So it was intersectionality, indigeneity, you know, LGBTQ, immigration, you know, all these statuses, and just the way that she was able to seamlessly go from one to the other, and clearly with a lot of wisdom. I was just blown away the first moment, you know, and so from then on, I was like way more pumped, way more confident, and just ready to keep going and have it grow and become everything that it's become. And so it's really exciting. So I'd say that's my favorite for that reason, but they've all been just spectacular.
Liz, what's your favorite episode besides mine? Can't use mine.
Oh my gosh. Well, obviously that would have been my first answer. And honestly, after listening to Frida just now, I think this one is rapidly becoming my favorite. But that's really actually very typical, that usually when we're a few minutes into each episode, it has suddenly become my favorite episode, because genuinely the people that we've talked to have been so fascinating to me and so inspiring that the conversations just start feeling really special. So they all feel that way. However, I do actually have an answer. And it's for a totally random reason. My favorite episode so far is Becky Burke, because she is a basketball coach. And if we were to make a list of every topic in the world that could come up on the podcast, basketball would be pretty low near the bottom of things that I know anything about, have any interest in, or would have thought that would have become my favorite. But she as a human being was absolutely delightful and wonderful and inspiring to talk to. The episode was really interesting. Some of the stories that she told were incredibly empowering and also really very much exemplified some of the key concepts that we are trying to convey with this podcast. So it really served as a great illustration of some of the ideas we're trying to put forward. And it was also just really fun to have the conversation. I literally remember getting up from this chair right afterward and going and talking to my husband and saying, like, do you know about Becky Burke? She is so amazing. And I was frankly just proud of myself to know who she was and to know something about the sports world. But that was like a big surprise hit for me personally and my favorite episode because of all those reasons.
Trey, did you have a favorite episode? Oh, or Bree, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's where I have to thank Trey for finding guests like Becky, who we never would have expected, and for casting that wide net, which makes it really cool with all the guests we've had, because we've had on so many of my personal heroes, and there are so many more out there that I'm dying to talk to. But to go back to what Frida said, Raffi's episode was truly incredible and showed, I think, what we were capable of on this show, and some of that emotion that came out in that episode was so touching and set the stage for everything that we were going to do. But asking to pick a favorite is so much like trying to pick your favorite child. You know, you might have one you like in the moment more than the others, but you still love them all. Though if I had to go to one, I think talking about Ron Oden's episode and the sweep of history that we captured in that episode and in his story and the way he could tell stories was so powerful, you know, to cover really 150 years of history, and his experiences and those of his family across that was really meaningful. And I'm looking forward to so many more opportunities to explore kind of these grand themes that we touch on, even though we're talking about the core message of leadership development.
That's really awesome. That's really awesome. Trey, what do you got?
I'm totally going to have to agree with Liz here on Becky Burke. And, you know, I come from a sports background, played soccer my whole life. And now I have the joy to watch my son and my daughters play. But just the idea of her being completely unapologetic, you know, in her career, because being an LGBTQ plus coach is something that not a lot of folks really want to be out and open. And seeing her just be unapologetic, and you know, I know she recently was engaged, and that was very public on social media, and for her courage there, and just being a coach that's putting it all out there. And you know, a coach really has to be sensitive with parents, and they feel like they need to in working with the college kids. But she just came across, and her personality was so pleasant that I just thought it was a amazing and inspiring episode that I really felt very close to being an athlete.
Yeah, that's a lot to navigate. And a really good story for her to be able to come on here and talk about. So speaking of that, as we transition to the next topic, have there been any really cool light bulb moments that either in the generally I'm going to talk to, you know, I want to hear about from your guests, any light bulb moments is like as they're talking that just all of a sudden something you're they're talking, they're telling their story, and all of a sudden it just clicked and everything fell into place and something became completely clear. And I'm going to start with Liz on that one.
Yes, absolutely. Multiple different guests where almost the same light bulb went on, and it was the gift of storytelling. And not that that's a light bulb that we hadn't already thought about and written about and talked about, but when you experience firsthand someone who is so genuinely gifted at storytelling in a way that touches your heart, and when you're sitting here trying to do a podcast and you're very much enjoying listening to the story yourself and you're having a great inspiring moment, but you know, because in the back of your head, you're also thinking, I hope this is, you know, good for the people who are listening. And you just know that they hit it and you're going, oh my gosh, yes, your check is in the mail, even though we don't send checks, right? You're just going, wow, they went exactly where we hoped they would go, and then even better than we could have expected. And I just have this sense that everyone who's going to listen to this is going to have the same moment I'm having, which is just feeling incredibly inspired, empowered, emotional. Some of the ones that stand out to me that just hit it on the head, Paula Neira talked about the power of being able to influence through story, especially in the advocacy space. We've had people who are genuine storytellers, right? Bree touched on it when she mentioned Rod Odin, right? So when you have people who are members of the clergy and they have that unique skill set, or we've had people who do this professionally, like Ross Murray with GLAAD, and then Scotty Madden, who is, you know, in this, in the entertainment industry and is exceptional at storytelling in many different beautiful ways. But literally every single one of our guests has done this from different perspectives, from different contexts, and in different fields or industries. And all of them for me have just doubled down on the light bulb moment of the way in which storytelling can change reality for us and move us forward and inspire us to do things we didn't think we could do. And then on a personal note, because this podcast is also about development and just always trying to grow and get better as a person, it has continually reminded me that I want to be a better storyteller. And it has given me tips and tricks along the way to think about how I can do so. So that's really what I've gotten out of those moments.
Awesome. All right, Frida, what's your light bulb moment?
So I think similar to Liz, I have to say that it's not a moment, but it's been a thread. And I think that every guest's authenticity has shined so bright, and it's been so inspiring and empowering, because seeing everyone be so vulnerable and brave and telling their story so comfortably now, but telling us how they got there. So they weren't always that empowered and that brave and that confident in sharing their stories. So their journey has been something that really has inspired me along the way with every single one of them, I would say. So I think that what I really love about this is that the historical narrative of leadership is changing also, because there are so many stories that have not been told like this. And we're helping shed light on those stories. And that's going to empower and inspire others to do the same, hopefully, not necessarily only in a podcast, but wherever, you know, from the workplace to their communities, and normalize being able to talk about who we are authentically without fears, like we have seen all our guests do here.
No, I love that. One of your guests, the Stealth FTM podcasts, that they're doing a lot of the same things that you guys are doing on a different level with just the trans men angle of it. And I really love that, which means you guys are doing just as much, and your audience is just so much wider as far as who you're bringing to the table. And just to get those stories out there, because those stories of just the day-to-day people can get lost and get lost because they're not the stars. They're not the ones, you know, in front of the cameras and doing that kind of thing. They're building the groundwork and building that framework. And what you guys are doing is great. Trey, what do you have for a light bulb moment?
I'm a little bit there with Frida and what she said. And I'm going to ping on a one word that she said is about a journey. It's everybody's journey. And the such dynamic, and everybody was so different on how they grew up or their dynamics that where they're at in their lives and the bravery that they've had along the way. So I don't think it's one aha moment for me. It's just listening to everybody weave their personalities and their stories into that journey. And at the end, they come to us as such amazing leaders. And the bravery speaks there for itself. And just, you know, a lot of inspiration for me as starting my transition here within the last year and a half, and just something that every time I listen, just very picking out the different things that I felt so closely to as I'm going through my journey at the same time of transitioning, but also being, you know, a leader in the military. And so it was just so amazing. Everybody was so dynamic. And, you know, as we kick off really season two and going into this next year, I'm just so excited to hear more. This has been, these stories and these journeys have been something that I so look forward to on my commute to work. And they really kick the day off right when I get to hear the new episode come out and then start my day right in that also leadership setting at work. So it's been so amazing and fun.
That's cool. Bree, what about your light bulb moment? I've given you lots of time to think about it.
You really have. And I've cycled through so many concepts that I want to talk about. And Trey, Frida, and Liz all hit on so many amazing things. But I think the breadth of story and the wild diversity of experiences that our guests have had is amazing. Yet they so often all connect with the same themes. And getting back to these core concepts of leadership in the service of others and the humility that so many of them show in who they are and how they share their time and their knowledge, it's just been such a joy to pull all that together and feel like we're just starting to peer under the waterline of this iceberg of LGBTQ leadership, that we're looking at some things that we can see above the surface, and now we get to dive into, you know, that bulk of it that's hidden normally. But I want to touch on two of our guests that we had on, two different trans politicians. And first off, congratulations to Danica Rome on winning her just last week election to the state Senate in Virginia. But she and Brianna Titone, you know, when we finished with Brianna, it's like, Brianna, you could have written the book that we're working on. You could have authored this story, and you sum up all this stuff in such incredible ways about why these leaders are so important. And Danica, the light bulb moment for me, or really just the, oh my God, how did you do that moment that she repeated over and over. It was almost like watching a ski jumper who was tumbling out of control, or someone, some other athlete, it's like, oh my God, this is going to be a disaster. And then she sticks the landing in response to questions. You're like, how did you go from this amazing wild journey? And then be like, oh my God, that is so insightful and a light bulb moment right at the end of an answer in a long story that somehow tied it all together. To me, that was just the ability to communicate and then clearly be like, boom, that's the takeaway. Both she and Brianna had that in spades, and I was so impressed with that ability to tie things together so neatly.
Well, speaking of tying things together, so we're coming to the end of season one, and you guys had this vision of what you wanted to do with this podcast and where you want it to go. What do you think the best vision is now? And I'm going to start with Bree, since we're already talking there. What is the vision now, and where do you see this going for season two?
Well, we would love to get feedback from our listeners on what are some other areas we want to explore, because just like I talked about the iceberg, we feel like we're barely scratching the surface. And there are so many more amazing guests. We want to continue to expand out into all different aspects of leadership, people leading in different fields, make sure we're truly getting a diverse representation of guests and understanding how their stories are unique and how they're similar. We're having a lot of fun, or at least I certainly am in doing this. So what can we do differently? Right now, I don't really know. That's why we're going to take the next month or so and start thinking about what it can be. But we want feedback. We crave feedback from our guests, from our listeners. What can we do better? What are the areas we may not be exploring because we have these blind spots, or we just love the type of questions and conversations we're having, but don't know what we're not asking, what we're not doing. So that's for us to think on, and where we ask for feedback.
Liz, where do you see this going in season two?
Yeah, I think in terms of a vision, what we have done over the last year is so fun that I would gladly continue to do that, right? So I agree with Bree. We want to diversify this. We want to reach out and get feedback from listeners and guests, and if there are areas that we can explore, we're very much open to do that. So that's really exciting to make sure that we're asking different kinds of questions or getting different kinds of guests. And I look forward to doing that. But at the same time, I would keep doing what we're doing because I've enjoyed it so much. And I would gladly have these conversations with anyone who's willing to come and have them with us. And I know that we would just learn so much and get some more interesting, inspiring stories by doing so. And I think what kind of stands out to me in this first year is that Bree and I started this journey because we were writing on this topic. And so coming into this as being authors in the space, and you know, we've had a couple of really cool conversations. We talked to Jennifer Brown, who writes on diversity, equity, and inclusion. We've talked to Dominic Longo, who's written specifically about queer leadership and leader development, which is really interesting to me. So as I think about what it is to try to narrate and write and tell these stories, but do so in a way that is allowing the individuals to tell their own stories, that's the pinnacle of the conversations we can keep having. And so I'm in no way worried that we won't find enough to keep talking about, but really, really curious to hear what that feedback from the audience is going to be as to what has resonated most. And then also what points have we missed? What questions should we have asked? Because I don't think we in any way claim to know all the right questions or to be perfect at this. So we are genuinely very curious to hear what that feed might be, and then just start taking it on in season two.
That's really cool. So Frida and Trey, you guys are mostly behind the scenes, so it's been a little bit behind, a little bit different from your guys' perspective as to where season one started and how it went, and then what you see going forward in season two. Let's start with Trey.
I think a lot of what Liz said, where, you know, it'd be okay if we just really kind of continue where we're a little at right now, because we've been, you know, very successful in hearing a lot of these great stories. And so I think for guest management, at least for me, is to really focus on a little bit more of getting the word out, the social media. So we're going to, I think we're getting some help there to be able to push this out a little bit, get more of more following. So that will help allow to get different guests and keep within the diversity and keep it open and be able to get some of the folks that we really want to, but we have to get the word out. But there's so many, we haven't even really gotten deep into a lot of folks we would like to. We have a broad list, a big list of people that we're interested in trying to get for interviews. We've been working and hopefully just getting the word out a little bit more and a little harder will help us get a lot more folks. And I'm excited for season two and what's to come, and you know, a little break here over the holidays and really double down on getting some great folks starting out the new year.
Thanks for that. All right, Frida, what do you got? What do you see for season two?
Okay, well, as the producer, I've really had the privilege of looking into every detail of every interview before putting it out, listening to them carefully, and just enjoying the whole process. It's a labor of love. So I really take as much care with each one because they're so special. So I just want to also encourage the audience to come and join us, not to be shy because they've never been on a podcast or something, but see it more as a conversation among friends, you know, like-minded people who really want to listen to their journey. And I think as a producer also, I love having fun with, you know, learning more about how I can be a better podcaster. And we've had panels. So we already had a panel in a different podcast I produce on Women, Peace, and Security. I was able to add simultaneous interpretation into it. So adding some of those, you know, additional features to our episodes is something I would like to explore too. So maybe having a thematic panel, you know, if we have an international guest from Latin America who is more comfortable speaking in Spanish, then I'll try the simultaneous interpretation again and see how that goes. But, you know, we're as Bree and Liz have said, we are not really saying that we know everything about what we're doing. We're learning and we love to learn as we go. So myself included, challenges are always accepted. So I would love to hear more from a wide variety of guests and include as many voices as possible. So however I can achieve that with the team, I'm more than happy to do so.
Well, we've got to keep that growth mindset, right? I would say we're probably closer to the we know everything end of the spectrum. So we get to keep growing through this too, which is really exciting.
Speaking of, so as we come into starting with this with season two after the holidays, what is keeping you guys driven? It's amazing, driven to explore this LGBTQ leadership thing. We've all been in leadership positions, but to explore it and drive into LGBT specific leadership lessons, what is driving you to that lesson? Liz, let's start with you.
It's really interesting when you think about the drive and the motivation to do this. And for me, it's incredibly obvious why I started and why I continue, because I'm deeply passionate about advocacy in this space. And in particular, the topics we talk about relating to leader development allow me to merge together the work that I do professionally, which is about developing leaders and figuring out how to enhance their capacity to do the things that they do, and then working in the advocacy space for the LGBTQ community to make sure that these incredibly important and inspiring stories are heard, especially by those who need to hear them most. But what's really interesting is that I'm also, on a personal level, motivated and energized all the time by some of the messages that I get from our guests that aren't at all specific to the community, and that I find as a straight cis ally and advocate are really relevant to me personally. And I'm just enjoying hearing tips and tricks and ideas that I can bring into my own life and that I know everyone else can as well. And so self-care is a topic that comes up a lot. And so I think it's an appropriate conversation to have as season one turns into season two and happens to also be at the new year. That we are thinking about the ways in which these people have worked so hard and given so much of themselves as leaders, as individuals, as advocates and allies, and some of the stories that have been shared about how people keep their own energy up and what it is that they do to make sure that they are taking care of themselves and, you know, filling their own cup so that they can fill others. And as much as that sometimes sounds corny, it's so incredibly true and important. And so all the time I'm listening to the examples that our guests provide about just ways in which they keep themselves motivated and energized and take care of themselves. And in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh, I've got to do that. I've got to write that down and make sure that I bring that into my own life, because we are all doing something that we feel is incredibly important, but we want to make sure we have enough energy to keep doing it. And so just the experience of this is always rejuvenating to have the conversations. But beyond the conversations themselves, I also often, whether in the podcast moment itself or when I go back and listen, get tips and ideas for just kind of tangible things that I can do, even for my own self-care. So I would say that really stands out to me to keep the drive and the energy going, even at an individual level. So for all of our listeners, keep listening for those tips and ideas, because I take them all the time.
I do too. Only I know I'm the only one that goes out and goes and running for miles on end to fill my own cup, even though it kills my knees. Bree, what about you? What's driving you to continue to explore this leadership space?
Oh, there are so many reasons, and I could probably fill an hour talking about all of these just in detail. There are the very personal ones where, you know, even just walking down the hallway of the Pentagon the other day, someone walks by and says, I love your podcast. And I'm like, thank you. That's awesome. Just to know that people are getting something out of it. The ability to, as I mentioned earlier, speak to my heroes. That's really cool. And just to get that opportunity is a lot of fun. And it kind of goes into some other areas where when I speak and talk about LGBTQ leadership and the history of it, so often following it, just like that hallway conversation, someone will come up and talk about the fact that they never saw these types of futures as open to them. And that is so meaningful that if the work that we are doing can inspire others to believe in themselves, that these types of leadership futures in all the diverse areas where we've been talking to guests are open to them, that's incredibly meaningful. That if we can help in a small way create that environment where LGBTQ kids and young folks just see the world as full of possibility, that's so incredibly touching and meaningful. And I'm going to leave it there because I could so easily go on because I am full of passion to keep exploring these issues.
Well, that last one is definitely one of my favorites. Finding those folks so that our kids find someone that looks like them, sounds like them, and is like them, to show them that, you know, there is an end to the rainbow, right? There are other people succeeding and growing and thriving in the world, and it's not all doom and gloom for the LGBTQ community as we move through this space, and giving us a community to come together when we're struggling. I think that's a big draw to come together to talk about leadership qualities in the LGBTQ community, just so that we have those people that are willing to step up and be visible so that our younger generation has somebody to see. Well, I really want to thank you guys for coming together and talking to this episode and showing me kind of the lessons learned that you've seen over the last year as putting this podcast together. Do you have any words of wisdom you want to drop today?
Thank you. Well, I just want to underscore what you both have said, Bree and Blake, because I really love the part of leadership development. As a gender advisor in a defense institution, I want to see an inspired new generation come to us and want that leadership development. And anything I can do to help empower and inspire a new generation, I take great satisfaction in that. And I have Gen Z children, and that is also a huge driving force for me because I think this generation needs to hear this. They need to hear that they're not alone. They're already, you know, way, way more advanced than my generation, even all of ours in that sense. But to hear everyone else, not just their generation, but those that have gone through it, you know, for many years, we have heard people that have been, you know, advocating bravely before, don't ask, don't tell. You know, they've been talking about how it has been very difficult to get to where we are. So it's important for the new generation to really understand that and where everybody has come from and how we got here. And so those obstacles are easier to overcome if they had to, you know, encounter them.
Thanks for that. No, I appreciate that. Trey, what do you got? You got any closing words of wisdom to drop on us before we close out the episode?
Yeah, Blake, thanks. And the first thing I want to do is thank Bree and Liz for such an amazing opportunity this past year to be a part of this. And you know, something that you all have been talking about, but you know, I was a 16-year-old in the LGBTQ plus community and didn't have a role model or anybody to really look up to. And you know, going in the military and don't ask, don't tell, and a lot of things as far as this 24-year career, and I didn't have anybody to really look up to. And this is just an extremely unique opportunity to be listening to, like Bree said, that they're hero, her heroes or her mentors. And it's the same thing for me, just to see. And I have, every time I listen, I'm just kind of at awe into the bravery of all these folks that we have interviewed. And I just want to keep hearing more. I just want to keep hearing more and more and more, and not feel as if I've always been maybe alone, and kind of fighting the fight for myself, but listening that people have all over and their backgrounds, it's just been so inspiring. And that keeps me motivated to continue to do this and to continue to do this on my off time and be a part of this for how many hours that we've put into this work. It's just that inspiring to me. And it's just been amazing. And I can't wait to continue this ride. So Bree and Liz, thank you so much.
I'm going to jump in here because I think Liz's wisdom is always so great at summing things up, and she should definitely have the last word. But yes, thank you, Trey and Frida, and to Christina as well, who couldn't join us today. We couldn't make this without you, and it has been such an amazing team effort to pull this off. But as we do this in an environment where there is such a current backlash to LGBTQ and particularly trans identities in so many aspects of society, that makes this so much more meaningful. Because when we can highlight these stories of leaders who are flourishing in fields across every sector of society and provide those examples that counter that narrative, that too is so meaningful in what we do. Because when these LGBTQ leaders that we talk to, when these LGBTQ leaders who may be following them up the ranks in their fields flourish, it's not just about us, it's about all of us. And if we can play just a little part in by telling the stories that we told in season one and all the stories that we hope to tell in future seasons, in reversing that narrative and talking about queer flourishing, that is everything we could have asked for. And I'm so thankful to this team for helping tell those stories.
Thanks, Bree. And I'll turn it over to Liz here to close us out.
Thank you, Blake. And I mean, first to you, Blake, thank you so much for being willing to join us again and serve in host role. It's great to not have to do that role and allow you to do it. So thank you for leading us through this amazing dialogue today, and also for being our guest a year ago, and for all the inspiration that I know that you have provided to the listeners thus far. Thank you. Echo the thanks to Trey, Frida, and Christina for providing the support and making all of the elements of this work. It has been totally eye-opening to me to learn about how to just make a podcast work. And each of you have done an amazing job. So thank you so much for everything that you've done. Thanks, Bree, for being my partner. This is the part where it gets a little bit emotional. I can't believe that I'm doing the work that we're doing right now. And I honestly can't believe I had the luck to meet you. And, you know, just to pat myself on the back, the wisdom to say yes to wanting to work with you. I think back on that moment, and I've literally actually printed out an email where you shared this idea with me, and I wrote back and said, yes, let me please be a part of that. So really excited that that happened and that we've done this over the course of the last year, and so looking forward to the next year and beyond of continuing to do that. And then maybe even more broadly, just thank you to every member of the community. I feel so genuinely privileged and honored to be able to enter into this space as a voice and an advocate and an ally, and to hopefully get to continue to do that for a very long time. So thank you to everyone who has listened, to everyone who will listen, and to everyone who is going to make this conversation so much bigger and broader than the podcast itself, and just keep the energy going and thinking about the importance of LGBTQ leadership and leader development, and very much appreciate being even one small voice in that conversation. So thank you very much to everyone, and especially thanks, Blake, for letting us give these answers today.
Absolutely. Thank you all for coming on today, and we'll see you next time at the beginning of season two.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Forged in Fire is hosted by Bree Fram and Liz Cavallero. Produced and engineered by Frida Castellanos and Christina George. Guest management by Trey Wirth, and original music by Bridget Benemark. The views and ideas expressed by the hosts and guests of this podcast are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the organizations or institutions they represent. To learn more about Forged in Fire, please visit us at forgedinfire.org.